the scripture says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. This is God speaking to Elijah. At a very low point in Elijah's life, when he felt like everything was falling apart and everything was crashing. And it said the Lord passed by. I like it when God shows up. I like it when God shows up. And the Lord passed by. But I want you to see this. A great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, a shaking. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, a consuming fire that was overwhelming. But God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Oftentimes when God shows up, he shows up in the least likely ways. Oftentimes when God shows up, we don't recognize it. We don't see it. God showed up in a still small voice. I have that personal experience of God showing up in a still small voice that's life-changing. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He knew it was God. And he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave, and a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Remember, Elijah had been sitting under the tree, depressed, ready to give up, ready to die. He just wanted to die. And angels came and fed him and sustained him. And then God comes, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the wind, but in a still small voice. And the voice says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. They seek to take my life." Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for the word of God. And I ask you to bless this word today and strengthen it to us. Strengthen it to our hearts and our lives. Make it real. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about that still small voice. But if I were titling this message, I think I might would title it Lessons from a Quadruple Bypass. And I want to share with you a little bit about that. You see, God orders your steps. None of us ever know what a day will bring. None of us ever know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know what lies ahead. But God does. He knows. The Bible says he orders our steps. And I had no idea what lay ahead for me. I couldn't see it. So you're just living life, and then all of a sudden your life changes. And I didn't know what was coming, but God did. So then I found out I was going to have open heart surgery. And that's where everything started to change. Because I was shocked. See, that happens to other people. That don't happen to me. That don't happen to Glenn McElhane. I'm never sick. I've never been in the hospital. I've never been anything. But God showed me something. I was proud of it, and I bragged about it, and I went around. I was quick to tell people, "I've never had anything done." I've stood in this pulpit and talked about faith and trust in God and walking in divine healing and divine health, and I believed that I did because I didn't have to have any help. But God was about to teach me a lesson. God was about to show up in a still, small voice and take me through the hardest thing I've ever been through in order to teach me how the hand of God works. So I'm facing open heart surgery. And I'm in the hospital, and a lady comes in and says, I want to know about your medical history. And I said, I don't have a medical history. She said, everybody's got a medical history. I said, not me. I don't have one. She said, well, you're fixing to. She said, I said, I've never been cut on, never been in hospital. She said, well, you saved up and waited to do it right, didn't you? And then after the surgery, I'm laying there with tubes everywhere. I look like a bowl of spaghetti. And I'm all cut up. I thought, Lord, I look like Frankenstein laying here. But then it started. Let me tell you about it. I started having questions. Where were you, God? Why didn't you heal me? I've walked in divine health. I've believed in divine healing. I've preached it. I've taught it. Where were you? How did this happen? How did I get here? What went wrong? I don't understand. I'm laying here broken, cut up. My life's, I mean, it's. I feel broken. I got scars. What happened? And that wasn't the worst of it. I had a voice laying there, and I couldn't move laying there in that bed. I had this voice behind me saying, I don't guess you'll be preaching on divine healing anymore. And I recognized that voice. I knew where it was coming from. Amen? Well, I don't guess you'll be preaching on divine healing anymore. I don't guess you can stand up and tell anybody God's a healer. They're not going to believe you. They're going to laugh at you. Look at you. God didn't show up and heal you. God didn't help you. How are you going to tell anybody God's a healer? Who's going to believe you? How are you even going to preach anymore? How are you going to tell anybody anything? You're washed up. Look at you. You're done. And I'm hearing that. And I'm thinking, God, I thought we had a deal. I thought we had an understanding. And just as sure as the devil showed up, God showed up. And he started talking to me. God, I thought we had a deal. I thought we had a deal. And he said, you had a deal. That was your deal, not my deal. I never said that. I never told you that. That was your deal. You created all of that in your mind. That's your deal, not my deal. God, why didn't you come and heal me? Why didn't you come and touch me? He said, did you have a heart attack? I did. He said, did you die? And they said, you should have. And I said, no, I didn't die. He said, because of me. Now I'm going somewhere with this. And he said, you had blockages, didn't you? Five of them. I said, yes. You got any now? No. Well, I healed that too. I took care of that too. You see, the hands of the surgeon were the hands of God. We talk about being the voice of God, the hands of God. We talk about being an extension of God. And he started showing me God has a lot of ways of showing up and touching our lives. And my own personal experience, when God started speaking to me, and saying, I did heal you. I did touch you. I did help you. You just didn't recognize it. Remember the story of the guy on the roof of the house and the floodwaters are rising? And he's praying, God, please come help me. God, save me. Lord, come and show up. And then suddenly a boat comes out of nowhere. And the guy says, come get in the boat. And he says, no, I've prayed. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God's going to come through for me. I don't need the boat. He says, man, don't you understand the water? You need to get in the boat. No, I don't need the boat. Thank you, though. So the boat putters off. And he's praying, God, come help me. A little while later, a helicopter flies by and drops down the ladder and says, come on, man, get up. Let's help you out of here. The waters are rising. No, I don't need you. I've called on God, and God's going to show up. Well, the waters rose up and took him away and swept him away, and he drowned, and he wound up in heaven, and he stood before God and said, God, where were you? Why didn't you show up? I stood there and called and prayed. And God said, I sent a boat and a helicopter by. What more do you want me to do? You see, sometimes God shows up to work in our lives and we don't see it. We're looking for the wind. We're looking for the earthquake. We're looking for the fire. Amen? And then we don't always see the little things that God is doing. And then God took me to this, God reminded me of this story. And he said, I want to show you something. You see, one night in that hospital, I had a strong visitation from the Lord, and I saw healing waters flowing in this vision. I saw healing waters flowing out of the hospital. I saw healing waters flowing down the halls of the hospital. I saw healing waters flowing out of the hospital, out the doors and out the windows. I saw healing water. And I thought, God, what am I seeing? He said, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you something. That I can use the hands of doctors. I can use the hands of medicine. I can use anything I choose to. And then God reminded me of the story of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, and the Lord came to him, verse 2, the Lord came to him and said, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. I'm going to show you three times that Elijah was hungry and what God did. Three times when Elijah needed sustenance and strength. So you go to the brook Cherith, which flows from the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows from the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Everything we've ever needed, God has placed in the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in the earth that is natural, that is created from the hands of God, everything, I want you to see this. If you see this, it will light you up. It will help you. Everything that God ever made is His. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All that it don't belong to the devil. Belongs to God. We have surrendered way too many things to the devil. This is God's earth. This is His creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that man has ever done and built, God put in the earth. It was always there waiting for us to discover it, to unleash it, to use it, to understand it, to get revelation and knowledge of it. So the earth belongs to the Lord, and He put all those things there. And what He showed me was all the things that we have in my life, particularly things that I have shied away from, things that I thought might not be God, things that I thought I didn't need, things that I didn't see and understand. God says that was always mine. You know where medicine comes from? Medicine comes from plants and bacteria. Medicine comes from fungi. Medicine comes from naturally occurring molecules in plants and bacteria and fungi. In other words, medicine comes from everything that is natural in the earth. And all the plants that God created, they hold medicine and healing in them. The Bible says the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nation. I saw that verse in a whole different way. God has placed healing in the plants of the earth, waiting for man to discover it. Even synthetic medicine comes from plant derivatives. Do you know what that means? It means God created medicine. The devil didn't create medicine. The devil would kill you. Amen? God has given mankind tremendous knowledge and understanding to bring the things out of the earth that he has made. And folks, these are good things. The Bible says all good things come from the Lord. But somehow we have got it in our minds that, well, I can't do that, or I shouldn't do that, or I got to go to God first. And somehow it's bad. Somehow it's a lack of faith. Somehow it's not walking in complete healing or health. Folks, God made it. And it's one of the tools, not the only one, but it's one of the tools that God uses. Now, I'm not talking about, understand me this morning, I'm not talking about the healthcare system. I'm not talking about the pharmaceutical industry or the insurance industry. I'm not talking about those things. We've taken a lot of the good things of God, and in every avenue of life, we mess them up. Amen? A lot of those things need to be fixed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the pure world of medicine and healing that God has made and created, and that God uses the hands and the knowledge, because every bit of that comes from God. It has to. How many of you believe Satan would have had me survive a quadruple bypass? No. And it's amazing what they can do. I mean, I'm astounded at what they did to me. It's amazing. I sat with my doctor and I said, explain to me what you did to me. I want to know. And so, as best I could understand him, because they speak another language. But as best I could understand him, he explained to me what he had to do and how he had to rewire my heart and all the stuff that he did. And I was just amazed. That for 90 minutes, almost 90 minutes, my heart was stopped. That my heart was in their hands. That they were re-sewing and reworking and rewiring. And then after that time, they start that heart back. Folks, that's incredible. It's incredible. And God started showing me that healing. Bear aspirin comes from the bark and leaves of the willow tree. God put that there. Amen? God put that there. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. And God can use the earth to heal us and to deliver us, just as God used the raven to bring Elijah food every day. God used what he had created. God used the earth. God used the fullness of it. He used everything that he had made. Isaiah chapter 11 says, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking him by their arms, and they did not know it was I who healed them. God is healing people all over the world, and they don't even know it. God is taking people by the arms and lovingly loving the world and healing the world, and people do not recognize it as the hand of God. And many times we have been guilty in church of not recognizing the hand of God. And sometimes some of you may have even felt ashamed because you had to take a pill or you had to go to the doctor and you felt like, you know, I should have believed more. I should have walked in greater faith. I've been there. I've been there. And what you were doing is never understanding that it was always God's work. And you're not availing yourself to everything that God has appropriated. That's just one of the ways God moves. But let's not discount it. That's that still small voice that God shows up to help us. That's just the way God works. He just uses the earth How many remember he made the sun stand still? It belongs to God. It's his sun. He made it. He created it. He made the sun stand still. All the natural plagues that came upon Egypt, and God used the things of the earth. He rolled back the waters, the natural waters of the Red Sea. He took his hands and he manipulated those waters and rolled back those waters and used those waters as a form of deliverance, and his people walked through. And then he used those same waters to destroy the enemies of Israel. That's just how he made a donkey talk to a prophet Balaam so he'd understand. I mean, God's pretty amazing. He uses the earth and the fullness thereof. And if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Amen? And so he used the rock in David's sling. God created those rocks, but he turned those rocks into a mighty weapon that he used for victory. He used the stars in the heavens to announce our Savior's birth. He used a woman to carry our Lord in her womb and bring him into the world. He used water and turned it into wine. He used mud on the blind man's eyes and gave him sight. He used 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. And he uses those things as he sees fit, and who are we to question how God moves and what he can use? But then God did something else. See, sometimes God not only uses the natural things of the earth. Verse 8 says, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Sometimes God uses the natural things of the earth, and sometimes God uses people. We all have needs, and sometimes God uses people. And he said, I've been using those ravens to feed you, but now I'm going to do something else. I'm going to use a widow woman in Zarephath. And I imagine when Elijah heard that, he thought, oh, hallelujah, God's got a rich widow woman living in a big house in Zarephath, and he's going to take me there, and this rich widow's going to take care of me. Glory to God. Man, I'm going to be on easy street. And he gets to Zarephath, and God leads him to the widow, and he comes to her, and listen to what it says. And he called to her. The widow was gathering sticks. He said, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread while you're at it. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. She said, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And I'm gathering these sticks so I can build a fire and bake a cake of bread, and then me and my son are going to. And I imagine Elijah's like, God, I thought we had a deal. Come on. I thought we had a deal. And God would say, that was your deal. That wasn't my deal. Because Elijah just found out this widow that was supposed to take care of him didn't have anything. How's she going to take care of me? How's this supposed to work? But Elijah knows something about the word of God. And so he says to her, do not fear. Now wait a minute. Elijah thinks and says, now wait a minute. God told me that widow was going to take care of me. So he's up to something. Don't you like it when God's up to something? He said, don't fear. Go and do as you said and make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Look at verse 14. This is important. For thus says the Lord, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain in the earth. Now this woman has a choice. She can look at Elijah and say, you're a nut. She can look at Elijah and say, I'm not giving you my last cake of bread. My last loaf of bread is for me and my son. But she had a choice. And she chose to do what? She chose to believe the word of the Lord. The Bible says when any two or three agree as touching any one thing, What does that mean? It means agreeing with the Word of God. Church, there's power in agreement. Amen? When we agree together. And so she agreed with the Word of the Lord. She chose to partner with Elijah and God's Word. And she made that cake of bread. But then the Bible says when she got ready, she went back and she looked and there was still oil and there was still flour. So she was like, well, you know what? I thought there was only enough for one cake of bread, but I was mistaken. There's enough for another one. But after she made that one, there was enough for another one. And after she made that one, there was enough for another one. And then there was enough for another one. And it never ran out because they partnered with the Word of God. Amen? That is so awesome. Hallelujah. But then there was Mount Carmel. Fire came down from heaven. He saw the cloud. He said, the rain is coming. Elijah outran the chariots of Ahab. But then it all came crashing down. Jezebel came and said, I'm going to kill. And Elijah got fearful. Folks, fear is a bad thing. And Elijah got fearful and he went and sat under a tree and said, I just want to die. But then angels came. This is the third time. Yeah, sometimes God uses medicine. Sometimes God uses doctors. Sometimes God uses the things of the earth to meet our needs. Sometimes God uses people. Sometimes God uses our brothers and sisters. I found out what it means to have people praying for you, and saying I love you, and all the food and the caring and the loving and everything that everybody did. I could never thank you enough on behalf of my family because I learned what the brothers and sisters in the Lord, what we do for one another, how we can help one another. Amen? So sometimes God uses people. But then sometimes, I like this, sometimes God himself needs to show up. Sometimes God might use medicine. Sometimes God might use a doctor. Sometimes God might use you. But sometimes God himself shows up and does the miraculous. And that is something we must learn to expect. We need to not be shocked by the miraculous, but to start expecting the miraculous, to start expecting God to do miraculous things. But when God shows up, it often doesn't look like what we think it will. It's not always in the fire. Sometimes it is. It's not always in the earthquake. Sometimes it is. It's not always in the wind. Though sometimes it is. Sometimes when God shows up, it's just in a still small voice. Isaiah 35 tells you what will happen when God shows up. It says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Waters will gush forth from the wilderness and streams in the desert, and the burning sands will become like a pool, and the thirsty ground will become bubbling springs. And in the haunts where the jackals once lay, the demonic, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. God will prosper those things. When God shows up, everything changes. Amen. When God shows up, everything changes. When his children cried out and said, oh God, deliver us, God showed up in a burning bush. And Moses almost didn't recognize him. And God said from that burning bush, I have heard the cry of my people Israel, and I have seen their afflictions. And he said, I have come down. I have showed up to do something about it. I love that. But what if Moses hadn't recognized God in the burning bush? When Joshua was uncertain about taking the promised land and he didn't feel confidence that he could do it, God showed up in the form of a mighty warrior, the captain of the Lord's host, and told Joshua to not be afraid. When three young Hebrew men were being thrown into a furnace and thought it was all over, they looked around and there was a fourth man walking around in the fire because God showed up. At the least expected time, when nobody knew that he would, God showed up. When the king threw Daniel in the lion's den and paced the floor all night long because he felt bad about what he had done, and they came and they said, "Oh, king, can we bring you some food?" He said, "I don't want anything to eat." And they said, "Can we play you some music?" He said, "I don't want any music. I'm disturbed." And the Bible says the king got up the next morning and ran down to the lion's den. Let me ask you a question, church. How many times do you think that old king ever got up to go see if anybody had survived a night in a den of lions? But there was something different about Daniel. There was something different about him. And the king knew it. And he ran to the pit. And listen, he said, "Oh, Daniel, are you there?" He almost expected something wonderful to happen. And Daniel said, "Oh, king, fear not. God has sent his angels in the night." You know what he said? "Oh, king, fear not. My God showed up. My God showed up and shut the mouths of the lions." Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. When David walked down into that valley with a sling, God showed up and took down a giant. When the world was in darkness and all seemed lost, God showed up in the form of a baby in a little town called Bethlehem. God showed up at a funeral and turned it into a parade. God showed up on the cross and redeemed the world. God showed up on that third morning and walked out of that tomb, the resurrection and the life, the Alpha and the Omega. He that was dead and is now alive forevermore. Oh, church, I believe that sometimes God moves in the earth. I believe sometimes God moves through us. But I also know that sometimes God walks in the room himself and does the miraculous. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Boy, I like it when God shows up.